You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From baseball's top personalities,
the Hall of Famer, one of the great TV broadcasters, Bob Costas, is here on A's Cast Live.
To the A's legendary players,
five-time Major League Baseball home run champ Mark McGwire is with us here.
You never know what stories you're going to hear.
We used to come out here to lunch and run with our shirts off.
You would say.
This is A's Unfiltered with Chris Townsend.
Now time for another edition of A's Unfiltered. You're going to get three players. You're going to get Cole Irvin, Jed Lowry, and Kevin Smith all here on A's Unfiltered that we did on A's Cast Live. And we'll start with the big left-hander, Cole Irvin. He's the lefty Cole Irvin here on A's Cast Live. How are you?
Great. What's up, A's fans? Live on YouTube.
You like how we're stepping our game up?
I love this. Not,
I mean, we're multimedia just for you.
I love this because now they're going to see me dance while we're on YouTube and the music's going on behind me. You know, it's a lot of ugly things that are going to happen now.
But we're trying to get clicks, so keep doing whatever you're doing. we have a problem with you, and I hate to say it. I don't want to start out negative. Because, you know, I want to be positive.
Well, as long as we end with a positive, we'll be all right.
But we have a major negative, kind of a bone to pick with you.
Okay, all right.
You're only the 12th fastest pitcher in baseball. You're not top 10.
Well, it's these dang hitters that take their time and their batting routines that I think is the problem. I don't think it's me because I'm standing there ready.
When I saw Shane Bieber was number one and it wasn't you.
He works fast. He's been working fast since college.
But you're Johnny fast. I thought you'd at least be top five.
My counter, I think, has to be with runners on first, and I hold. I vary my speed.
That's
and
true.
Timing. Because the runner's right in front of me. So I think that's kind of where my
right-hander's just going. He didn't hold it. Do right-handed pitchers even hold people anymore?
I don't even know. I don't think so.
I don't think they even pay attention to
it. I don't think so. I mean, with our catchers, there's no reason to. I mean, we got arms behind the plate. So, you know, with Betancourt and Murph, I mean, they're going to throw guys out no matter how fast
you got to kind of, with Betancourt back there, you got to watch your lips with that ball coming back fast. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he takes great BP too. On top of not only having a great throwing arm, but, 100%. We got two of the best arms in the league, you know, behind the dish. So, base runners, it's going to be interesting to see how many guys steal on us this year.
When the notes came out that StatCast had this pitch tempo deal, I immediately thought of you, and I thought, I love this. Like, now we're going to really know who's a sloth out there.
Yeah.
And who are the guys that when you pitch fast, your defense loves it? We were talking to Kevin Smith about that, going, ball's coming. You got to be ready. You're ready to play versus sitting there. And we actually did a timer on, like, what 30 seconds is like, just to sit here for 30 seconds and wait. I mean, it's a really long time.
It's a long time.
You're such a better pitcher. The way you get into a groove, you're in a groove, everybody else is in a groove, working quick. And I'm glad aren't you glad, as someone that means a lot to your game, that we're now actually going to look at it and talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that definitely needs to be talked about. There's one thing about having a routine, and then there's another thing about working at a pace that actually gets you going and gets you get comfortable and you get into a rhythm and the game works actually faster in your favor. And, like, I mean, you saw it the other day. I mean, Verlander works, you know, at a regular rate and, you know, works pretty quick. And, I mean, he was throwing well. He got into a groove. And then I was working quick as well. I mean, I had a runner on first most of the time. But, I mean, even then, with no runners on, still working quick. And we, you know, got through that ball game 2.5 hours or something like that. And so, you know, it just goes to show that if you are working quick and working at a good tempo, you know, the games are going to speed up. They will. They just happen naturally. But, I mean, it's on the guys holding the ball first, and I take a look in the mirror at that. So, if I'm not working quick, there's got to be something going on or something I'm thinking about, because you know, that's part of my game. That's how I pitch consistently.
When you go up against a lineup like the Astros, mm-hmm. where they really are one of the few lineups in baseball that can beat you every single way. They got the power. They got the contact hitters. They can. What's it like preparing for them and getting ready for a ball club and then going out and implementing that plan?
I mean, not just the Astros. I mean, the rest of the league. I mean, it's Major League Baseball. You got to prepare for teams to be able to put damage numbers on you. And yeah, the Astros have a lot of depth and damage. So, you know, it's trying to limit that, trying to make good pitches early. And, you know, there's a lot of – I would say amongst just all teams, like, you can't take, you know, the bottom part of the lineup for granted because they can do damage.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in the major leagues. So, you know, being able to prepare, knowing who can put more damage on you, know who puts a little less, know who guy, you know, what guys put in play, you know, what pitches they like or what they're seeing well right now. You know, all that stuff is a factor in terms of game planning. And, you know, I like looking at one of the stats that I look at is their last 10 at-bats and the last 30 at-bats against left-handed pitchers. What are they doing? What are they seeing? And, you know, the averages can flip a lineup. You know, guys in the 3-4 hole could actually be not doing as much damage at that time as the 7-8 guys. So now you know you got to be a little bit more careful with the guys that are seeing the ball well at the bottom of the lineup. So, I mean, there's a constant balance all year about, you know, who's hot, who's not. And that's what's fun about this game and pitching. And but, yeah, the Astros, I mean, they just got a great lineup up and down, whether or not you believe whatever they did. You know, I mean, that's a different time. And now they're, you know, they're like the rest of us. And, you know, they still have the bats to do damage, and you have to be able to manage it in the best way you can, and limiting, you know, solid contact. And I think that's what I do well is I pitch to miss barrels, and I don't necessarily pitch to miss bats.
I can tell you where I sit right up here in the press box, and all of a sudden they come and take you out. All of a sudden my papers are flying all over. I'm like, why? Why keep him in there? I mean, it drives me nuts. You don't necessarily have to comment on this now that I think about it, but it drives me nuts because there's a problem to me when you're going to use 4, 5, 6 relievers. It takes one guy to have an off night for that whole thing to fail. Yeah. And I got a guy like you. It's like this is what bugs me. I don't know if it bugs. I can ask you this without either of us getting in trouble. Does it bug you that around the league that they feel if you give up one or two runs and it's the third time through the order that, oh, God, we got to make changes? Why can't we work through stuff like pitchers used to?
You're preaching to the choir on my end on that. You know, there's a lot of times where I feel like, you know, a good example the other day, you know, I come out of the game 5 2/3 and, you know, I'm an out and away from a quality start. In my mind, I love quality starts. I love being able to give the team a chance to win. You know, I want that ball. And I was kind of soft in showing Kotze that I wanted to stay in there. I should have tried a little bit harder.
What do you say to him?
I kind of waved him off on the mound, but he didn't see me wave him off. And so maybe next time I just try to tell him when he comes out to the mound. But he already called for an arm, so I didn't really try all that hard. I'll be honest.
So, yeah,
His head was down when I was like doing like one of these. Like, no, stay in there. Like, I don't want him to come out.
And
like,
yeah, you're kind of done.
So, yeah, it was more so like fun on my part. I was like, I wanted it, but I knew he was looking down and he wasn't going to give it to me. So I was like, all right. I mean, I'll take it. So, you know, again, sometimes decisions need to be made, and we're in a one-run ball game there. Verlander's throwing well. We don't know how that game's going to shape out. I think all in all, you know, that's a good decision. You know, you got to think about situations. And you know, the bottom of their lineup was hitting me a little bit more than the top of the lineup. So, but yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about pitching right now, and I'm noticing, is that third time through. A lot of teams aren't letting starters go through that third time through
at all.
And what's interesting on my end, being a pitcher and pitching to contact, I'm going to see that third time through. But you got to prove that you can do it. You got to prove that you can make pitches and pitch guys three different times. You know, three different ways in a game. And so that to me is pitching, is being able to show guys different things. I think one of the at-bats that stood out the most to me was Alvarez in my last start is facing him three times, you know, solid bat. You know, his second at bat, I threw him too many sliders. And then that last time I broke his barrel, you know, on fastball in. And so in that first at bat, I was pounding him in too. So, I mean, I kind of got off my game plan in that second at bat, but I went back to it. And it showed up to be a good thing, you know, got out of that, you know, fifth inning and was able to be in there for the sixth. So I think those small things kind of go a long way when you're still learning to pitch at this level and showing that you can prove to, you know, pitch through three times through the order and stuff. And so that's – pitching isn't easy. You know, hitters make those adjustments, and as a pitcher you got to as well, and you got to be ahead of it.
You know, one thing that when you look at starting pitchers, like you pitch and then the world forgets about you for a few days, right? It's like, now we don't because we see all the stuff that you do, but just tell the audience how much work, the volume of work you guys will do. Doesn't have to be all physical. A lot can be mental too, mm-hmm. with watching the video and watching things and as you said, gearing up, looking at the last 10 games or how many games. Or just talk about what you do in between starts.
Yeah, I mean, between starts, it's for me, it's a little bit simpler. You know, today I do a long run, got a lower body lift, and then tomorrow I got a bullpen. And my last bullpen, I threw it like 60-65%. I don't think I had a fastball over 70 miles an hour in my bullpen. But what I was trying to do was trying to throw fastballs, you know, on both sides of the plate. I was splitting the plate, nothing in the middle. I didn't throw anything in the middle. It was trying to hit the corners and trying to hit all quadrants of the corners. So, you know, up, middle, and down. And so, you know, bullpens are intentional. You know, tomorrow I'm probably going to be working on a little bit more slider, slider cutter action, just to tunnel those a little bit better. You know, and that's kind of the in-between there. And then, you know, we got 2 days up until Atlanta. I will go into the yard on the off day to get some work in, get a little light lift and stuff. So, I mean, we're lifting, we're working out. As a starter, it's four days a week that we're lifting and running, and then we get our start day. And then even after our start day, we're riding the bike for 20, 25 minutes after the start. So we work hard. You know, the programs here is kind of tailored to whatever you need, and they learn you as you go. And they help you as much as they can, and just a great support staff here just that helps us every day.
You know, I think about golf, and I think about how that works for, like, what you guys do. So if you're going to play golf that day and you go out to the range, you're working on what you do well because that's what you got to play with. On a day where you're not playing, you're just going to the range, you can switch grips. You can do all kinds. Mm-hmm. I can try and hit a cut. I can hit a fade. I can try and draw it. I can try and do all. So for you, when you talk about your bullpen like tomorrow, will you concentrate more on refining what you do well or trying to fix what you want to make better?
Start to start. It's start to start for me. Because, like, if I come off a game where I was throwing bad sliders, I want to throw more sliders in the bullpen and just get that feel back of what a good slider feels like at the tips of my fingers. Some guys throw the same routine every time. You know, everyone's different. And so, to me, I kind of tailor it to kind of what I've been doing well, what I haven't been. So I kind of balance it the best way I can. But the other day, sometimes you just need to relax. You kind of need a lighter day. So I just did fastballs only and didn't try to overwork myself through 25 pitches, but still wanted to get something out of it, and it was all about command at the end of my release point and just trying to feel it out front. And so, again, like similar to golf, like there's that refining point that we do, but, you know, with where we're at, sometimes you got to think about the lineups coming up. Sometimes there's a lot of things that kind of go into a bullpen day, and I definitely think about it. You know, there's some days where I'm going to wear a jersey. There's some days where I'm not. Like, it's depends on the day. It depends on how I've been going, you know, what the rhythm's like. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. And as I say it, I'm definitely in my own head about it, for sure.
Now I'm going to be watching tomorrow. I'm going to be up in the press wall. Is he wearing a jersey today? What is he doing?
I started talking about it, and I went, oh, my gosh, I overthink my bullpens way too much. I need to relax a little bit more.
That's what we do here on AceCast Live. We get the real of what's going on. How much whether it's you, because you guys all talk a lot, you guys are a great support system for each other, how much do you guys got to make sure in a game of failure you don't get too down on yourself?
We fail every day. I mean, a ball in our, you know, total pitches category is a failure. Sometimes it's a successful failure if we're trying to throw balls. I mean, earlier in the year, I was trying to throw a little bit more balls because I was in the zone too much. So, you know, there's times where, you know, I think a good example is, you know, when we get hit around a little bit, you know, I think the starters are really good at coming in and supporting each other about, like, what we're seeing from the sidelines and what we're seeing from the dugout. You know, hey, you're rushing a little bit too far down the plate, or hey, I think you should have gone fastball here with that, you know, location. And the next time they face that hitter, they execute it. And, you know, with Frankie, I know we tell him a lot to throw his splitter. And it's not a knock on him. He gets into the rhythm of the game like all of us. They tell me the same thing on my changeup. You know, we just want to get on it. We want to throw it hard. And again, it's just player to player. It's different guy. You know, Cap tonight, we'll probably tell him something. And we're just honest with each other in the moment, because we'd rather know now than know after the game when we could have made the adjustment. And so that's the biggest thing, I think. From the starters core, that's what we talk about. We're in each other's ear daily about stuff. Even just on catch play sessions, we're watching each other. You know, are we taking it seriously? Are we out front? There's a lot of things that we take care of, and we make sure that we don't get lazy.
Yeah, I always thought, like, Mariano Rivera, like, what is he doing bullpens? He just throws the same pitch over and over again.
That's a good question.
Like, why do they ever even put down sides? Like anyone's like,
everyone knows what's coming.
I mean, were they going to trick you one time with a pitch that wasn't a cutter? He threw it every single pitch.
Oh, I think I told Danny the other day, I forget who we were facing, but I think everyone in the ballpark knew he was throwing a curveball. I think it was to Nathaniel Lowe or something like that. And I think everyone knew except for him, except for Lowe, and he struck out on a curveball. And it was just like, that's his best pitch. Yeah. It's like, I think there's a lot of guys in the league that you know what he's going to throw.
Some of these guys, when your stuff's that good, you could be out there and be like, hey, I'm throwing that. Like, when Frankie's got his split going, it's like he could tell you, I'm throwing it. What are you going to do about it?
It's aggravating. As a guy that throws 90 miles an hour, it's aggravating watching 98 and then a 90-mile-an-hour splitter. And I'm just like, that's just not fair.
Well, think about it. If, like, Eovaldi has given up 16 home runs. Can you imagine if you had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball to go with your stuff?
No, I feel like I'd be in the training room a heck of a lot more. I don't like being in there.
You'd have no hitters if you had a hundo.
Yeah, probably, maybe. I had 98 out of the bullpen.
Did you really?
In Philadelphia, yeah.
God, how good was that?
That was the coolest feeling ever. It was in Cleveland, actually, was when I did it.
Was that a juice gun or was
no,
that?
No. It was clean. It was clean. It was a clean 98. It was 98.2. So, I mean, I got a .2 on there.
Where'd it go?
I have to start. Have to save energy.
So,
I was surprised that a lot of people don't know this, but I'll just share it. A lot of us starters pitch at like 90-95%.
Of course, because you'd be burnt by the third, fourth inning. Yeah.
Right. Frankie, I think, is almost max effort, except for on a splitter, and we have to tell him that. But I think for the most part, we just try to conserve our energy because we're trying to get deep in that ball game, and a lot of people. When I'm giving lessons in the offseason, you know, ask, like, why aren't you trying to, like, train him to throw harder? Well, I was like, because I want them to throw accurately first. I said, when your body develops and gets stronger, you know, that's when the velo comes. And velo is just such an interesting thing to me. There's so many different ways to kind of teach it with drive line and all that.
Well, I'll tell you this. But every broadcast, I got to do a farm report. So I'm always looking at our minor league teams. Oh, we're training them to throw all out in starts because they're only going three innings.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing is, like, now you're not teaching how to, like, manage a lineup going, you know, two, three times through in order. And, like, I think for me, the minor league schedule being only six games and having six starters kind of hurts learning how to pitch to a team twice in the same, you know, in the same week. I'm not sure what we do on the minor league side, but, I mean – at least when I was in AAA, AA, like being on that five-man rotation, man, it, and we faced the same team in a week, knowing that I had them twice, I had to learn a lot about how to throw a team six different ways and do it three times in a night. And that to me is what makes pitching so fun, is like there's so many different ways right now that you can go about coaching. Like baseball is a really fun time right now where you can teach velo or you can teach command. You can kind of do it all right now, and both are going to work and get you to the pinnacle of the game. But all in all, like back to my original statement, is like 90-95% effort out of starters, and then we have that in our bag to be able to throw 95-96. And I've showed it in a few starts this year where, you know, I've gotten up to 95, and that's when I'm trying to empty the tank.
Well, you're not going to have to worry. By the time you retire, starters will only go twice a month. We're going to have 7-8-man staffs. What, you think about 12 starts a year will be good?
Golly,
12 starts?
Yeah.
Records of the 12-start-a-year record?
Oh, man. There are some areas I hope baseball doesn't go down.
20-man bullpens?
Yeah, the pitch clock is, to me, one thing that I hope that we don't get too happy with, because I feel like a routine is good in an at-bat. A routine is good when you're on the mound. Foul balls happen. That's when you take your time to reset. And if you got to be on the mound to be ready to throw a pitch, to me, that, like, I've seen, I was watching when I was in Stockton, watching that pitch clock, man, it's just so fast. It's so fast that you actually can't think and you just react. And I feel like learning the game is very hard to do when you're trying to go hyper speed in baseball. And so, but again, it's cutting down time in games. So
By a lot.
It is. And the numbers are crazy. But there's still a level of understanding and learning the game that I feel like needs to be had at those levels. And if you're running through a game as fast as it can, what are you learning from the game? How are you breaking that down? How is it affecting, you know, a growth of a player, especially young players at that level? So it's interesting. I have a lot of thoughts on that. We could probably talk about that at a different time.
We got all the time in the world. Now they're going to wrap me up here. Quickly, you know what? You guys have been better on the road than at home. It's bottom line. You're going to finish this series, go back on the road. Is that something that in the back of your guys' mind that you understand, you know, that sometimes, hey, let's get on the plane, let's go. It's better for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say this year because, I mean, we're in here every day grinding and really trying to win games at home. I mean, but I think our bats, you know, in opposing ballparks kind of show up a little bit more. And that's just plain and simple. I think pitching's going to stay the same. I mean, it doesn't matter where we go, pitching's going to stay the same. I think just offensively, a few of the balls that we hit here go out in other ballparks, and maybe that's all it is. And so, you know, it could be kind of a thing to think about, but at the end of the day, we're trying to win at home just as much as we're trying to win on the road. So I don't really have an answer. I think we're always ready to play. We don't care who's in the other uniform, and we want to win ball games, and we don't like losing. I'll tell you that. I mean, that's the loss the other day, you just hurt a little bit. And I'm glad we had the off day to kind of reflect and kind of reset. And there's a lot of good energy today in the locker room. So to hopefully we can carry this into a series win against a good Red Sox team.
All right, so let's just end with this. As long as pitch tempo, you're top 15.
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah,
okay. top 15.
Try to get top 10, but I know that with holding runners at first as a left-handed pitcher, it's going to –
If you were right-handed, where would you be?
I'm pretty sure I'd be at the top. I'd be curious to see who the righties and lefties – like. If there is a discrepancy between,
you think my crack staff would be able to come up with this information?
Yeah, especially
how many lefties are in the top 10? Are we sliding him? Is that not? I didn't even think about that.
Now remember, I set this to minimum 250 pitches because they've Wade Miley in there, who hasn't thrown that many pitches yet this year. He's at like 11 seconds with nobody on base, but he's only pitching certain. So I set it to 250.
But one of Cole is your 12th, but all 11 guys are right-handers in front of you.
Right.
Then that's not fair.
Yeah, exactly.
That's analytics that are crap.
Hold on, I'm holding up.
Then technically, they should have a righty versus lefty.
Could. Yeah, you
like
could.
Like a left column, righty column.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, yeah.
All right, minimum 250 pitches. Shane Bieber, righty. Aaron Ashby, he's from the Brewers. I think he's a lefty. Steven Matz, lefty. Alex Wood,
okay.
Lefty.
Okay.
Logan Webb,
wow,
righty.
A lot of lefties up there.
Our
Mike, to speed things up.
the next lefty after would be Nasty Nestor.
Nasty?
Drew
Nasty.
Smiley. David Peterson, also a lefty.
Gosh.
Then you, and then Sean Manaea.
Wait, David Peterson, then me?
Yes.
Yeah, go Ducks.
Oh.
And then Manaea is after you. So you're ahead of Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, that's the – yeah, totally. Beat you. Got him. You know, Got him in one category.
It's not too long from now that we will not talk baseball and we will talk Pac-12 football.
Hey, we're hey.
We're not that far. We're summertime. Before
Speaking
you know it,
of,
we're going to hit August, and it's going to be – let's get her going.
Yeah. College baseball right now going on. I think the Ducks are on right now, so I got to go in and start watching.
Thank you very much. Awesome stuff.
Always fun having me on. So it was a great time. Thank you for having me.
From the lefty to the switch hitter, here's our good friend, Jed Lowry. Well, how about that? Back-to-back, huge A's Cast live guest. You think about what Blummer has meant to us. We got Jed here, what you've meant to us for so many years here with the A's, and always so kind with your time. And now we're doing this. People can watch this live on YouTube and Twitter and get to kind of see the background and see BP.
Perfect.
It's a game changer, and always great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
I got to think today was kind of a special day for you because it looks like you had your kids out there with you.
I did. I brought Miles out for the first time, and then my daughter and wife showed up a few minutes later. So Sage got to come down as well.
So what is that like as your kids get older? Because when they were young, I remember they were really young, and they don't know.
Yeah, right.
But now they know. What is that like as a father?
I mean, that's that type of experience, right? Getting the opportunity to share that type of experience with them is, it's not something I got to experience. So that means everything to me, like having them on the field with me and being a part of my day and seeing what it takes to kind of go through it.
It's got to be a whole different perspective for you to now, going from you have the kids, you got babies, you're trying to play through it, not easy, to now that they're older and they're self-sufficient and everything.
Sure.
I mean, what is that like as you get older in the game and your family gets older with you? What is that like?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's these types of moments, right, where you get the opportunity to have shared experiences, and it makes it all the more special.
Yeah, when you look at this team right now, what needs to happen to get things going for you guys at home?
Well, I think cashing in on opportunities first and foremost, and finding ways to continue to get guys on base and getting those big hits. And we're gonna have to find ways to score runs here. The power numbers haven't been as good at home, and it's a little different. You never really know with the Coliseum. Some nights the ball's just not gonna travel, and so you got to find ways to string hits together and get those big hits. Because sometimes the Coliseum doesn't play the same as other parks when we go on the road.
The one thing about your game that we've always loved is that you're the extra base hit machine. I mean, we know the doubles and what you've done in your career here with the A's. I've always loved your brand. I kind of like the brand we got going now. Now, not everybody hits home runs, and now it's about scoring runs, maybe traditionally the old school way. Let's have some stolen bases. Let's hit behind the runners.
Yeah.
Let's take bags. I mean, this plays into your game. Have you enjoyed less of the everything's launch angle and everybody's trying to hit home runs and more trying to maybe a little bit more old school?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, it hasn't really changed the way I approach the game. I've never gone up there trying to hit home runs. I've tried to drive the baseball, and when you get a good pitch to drive, the ball's going to go out. And this year the ball has performed a little differently than what we've seen in the last few years. But once again, that's not really changing the way that I approach the game, because I'm looking for a pitch that I can handle and drive. And that doesn't necessarily, when I say drive, that doesn't necessarily mean in the air. It just means like hit the ball hard somewhere.
Yeah, I think about the walk-off hit against the Rangers.
Right.
What they give you is what you're going to take.
Precisely.
And you hit it hard no matter what. But the joy that you guys still have, that's one thing I think Mark Kotze has really installed is there's going to be fight every game. No matter what that – forget about the records. Forget about the numbers.
Sure.
Fight every game and that you guys still got to enjoy yourselves. And I think we saw that with – it was an ugly game that you guys won.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's all part of the process, right? And so, you know, if you can't find ways to enjoy the good moments in this game, you know, it's a hard game, and you know, you're not always going to be a part of a winning team. And so, when you have those moments, you always have to enjoy them.
So we've talked a lot. I know we talked about this in spring training. You know, you played with Mark Kotze.
Yeah.
And now him as a manager, as a new manager, what is that like for you seeing the guy you played with and now seeing a guy who's maturing in his own as a skipper?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think personality-wise, energy-wise, he's the same guy. He's a high-energy guy, emotional guy that, you know, he's invested. Like, he wants to see everybody do well, and he expects a lot out of everybody, and he expects us to fight, just like you were saying, until the very end. And, that, you know, anytime he has a message for us, it seems like he always emphasizes that, right, that, you know, we're not going to give anything away, and, you know, we're going to fight to the end. And I think that's the type of brand that, you know, the A's have been known for a very long time, and I think he continues in that tradition.
You played with some great players when you were young, and I'm sure they said things to you that to this day you remember. Now you're an older player.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself saying some of the things that those guys said to you you're now saying to younger players?
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, there's moments where, you know, something needs to be said, just, you know, even just a clap of the hands in the dugout, right? Like, hey, let's just, you know, continue to grind this out, right? Don't give anything away. You know, just little things that, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, that, you know, something little, you know, just a little earbud, right, that, you know, hopefully can flip somebody's mindset. And then, you know, I learned a lot just by watching the way that a lot of the guys that I came up with went about their business. And there's a lot to be said in this game about, you know, watching and learning how to go about your business on a daily basis.
That's so interesting because we always think about, you know, what people say to other people, how you teach people, when maybe one of the greatest tools is just to not say anything and use your eyes and use your ears, not your mouth, and to see. So, and I think Marcus Semien was a great example, as Marcus was a guy that if you were a younger player, Marcus didn't say much, but, man, did anybody work harder? And I think about you and the craft of what you have to do every single day. As a switch hitter, you got to work on your right and left swing as much as someone works on one. So just talk about that, how important it is really to use your eyes more than your mouth.
Yeah. No, I think that's there's really nothing else to be said, right? I think especially as a young player, we're trying to figure out who you are in the game. You know, you see the veteran guys and how they go about their business and what it takes to put yourself in a position to perform every day, to give the team the opportunity to win. And so I think that's, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, young players have to come up and, you know, zip their lip, right? Like we want guys to come up and be themselves, show their personality, but at the same time, you know, learn how to go about your business, at the major league level to help the, you know, help the team win.
All sports, doesn't matter, we're talking NFL, NBA, hockey, whatever, all sports change as they go on, especially when you play a long time, everything changes. What do you still love about the game?
I mean, there's not a lot I don't like about the game. I would say first and foremost, what I love is the opportunity to face the best in the world every single day. And, you know, to my knowledge, there's not another, you know, career where every single day for 8 months out of the year, you get to face the best in the world. And that type of, you know, cauldron just it really sharpens your blade, right? Like you have the opportunity to make adjustments and to see the best in the world and to test your mindset, your physicality, everything about it, and on a daily basis. There's no other sport like it. There's no other job like it.
Well, that's what we've always loved about having you on, is you're just not gonna sit there and feed us cliches.
Yeah.
You say something. That's why I wonder, if you didn't do baseball, what do you think you would have done?
I have no idea. I've always been interested in, you know, in business in general. But you know, I really don't know. Growing up, I was either outside playing or I was inside playing computer games or video games. So, truth be told, I don't know. I obviously went to school, got my degree. Stanford's
kind of a decent degree.
Hopefully, it's not just a piece of paper on the wall. But I didn't put all of my eggs in one basket, you know, in terms of baseball. I always wanted to be well-rounded. But I'm obsessed with baseball, and so it's always been my passion.
Do you see Jed 2.0 somewhere, front office, coaching, God, ownership? Yeah. I mean, where do you see once you say, okay, I'm done playing, right. I'm going somewhere. You don't seem like a guy to me that's just going to play golf every day and hang out.
I'm definitely not. I will definitely be playing some golf, but it won't be it won't be on a daily basis, I don't think. And what that is, I don't know what that role is in the game. It'll definitely be something. I feel like the experience and knowledge that I've gained throughout the years, and my passion, my obsession with the game, I feel like will lead me, you know, down the path that is right for me. And I just don't know what that is quite yet.
I know you got to go, so let's end on this.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be, and you kind of fit right in that era perfectly, of a marriage and a blend, you know. Not too much old school, not too much new school. Kind of be able to be both, be able to teach both, understand both. I think a guy that's played in the timeline of baseball when you played understand that. Am I overstating that, or do you think a guy like yourself could long-term really help a lot of people because you could marry both together?
Yeah. No, I think I am uniquely situated in that regard, that I've seen both worlds, and the game's in a place where, you know, from a entertainment standpoint, and you know, the way that the product is delivered on the field, there's some things that I know the commissioner is working hard to try to, I don't know if modernize is the right word, but I like to think of baseball as a romantic game, right? And so I think, you know, part of that romance of the game is building some anticipation. And so I think, the opportunity to build that anticipation in the game is a little lackluster right now. I think, you know, home runs are fun, strikeouts are fun, but it's kind of like a sugar rush. You know, it happens and then it's over. There's no real anticipation, you know. Yeah. Like there's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot of coordination that's happening on the field. There's no plays on. So I think, you know, building that anticipation kind of brings the romance back to the game.
And let me tell you about the evolution of Jed and our media here with the A's. The first time he ever came to the A's, we had Jed outside the stadium.
Yeah.
We taped the interview in an old Raiders. It was like a metal ticket box. It was like 8,000 degrees.
It was really hot.
And I'm like, really going to go do Jed in there? And we had never met before. To where now you're live on YouTube, Twitter,
I know, right?
We're on the field. It's amazing the change you've seen in how this team gets covered.
Yeah, that is a memory that I will never forget, because that was a hot box, let's just put it that way, for no other reason than the temperature.
Yeah, you're in a different market now, my friend. Well, hey, thanks for everything. We always appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Right.
We got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live. And from Jed to Kevin Smith, when we did this interview, he was in the big leagues. He's been sent down, but he's trying to work his way back. Here is A's third baseman, Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith joins us here. You may not remember, but we talked down at spring training, but I had a mask on.
Yes, I do remember.
Yeah,
there was
a
lot
you?
Of people down there, but I remember.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
great, man. How's it going?
New guys come in, and we all have to be a mask. And you're like, hey, we'll see you in Oakland, but you're going to have no idea what we look like, so it's good
it's
to
tough.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked about, I've tried to tell A's fans a lot about our conversation about how excited your family was about you coming to the A's because you were growing up, the big All-Star team wore green and gold, and it was like an honor to be on that All-Star team. They sent like a picture of you as a kid in one of those uniforms to remind you, hey, you've always been wearing green and gold.
That's right, man. I mean, the day that I got traded, a lot of stuff happened, and it was a busy day, but when I got back to my phone, the first message I had was from my mom and dad. They pulled out the A's jersey. It's a really small jersey. I think I was like 7 or 8, and that was the first jersey I had in Little League. And so they were excited. They're not excited. They're losing a lot of sleep because all the West Coast games. But my dad's losing some sleep before school, but he's happy.
Where are they?
They're in New York, upstate New York still. So,
oh, yeah. So, that's,
so they're on
that's
East Coast.
Brutal.
Yeah, they're on East Coast time. He's losing a lot of sleep out there, but he's working through it for sure.
Actually, you know what? They are a little bit lucky because when did we start? We used to be 7:07.
Yeah,
they're lucky that it's 6:40. Like, we used to be 7:07, and you're talking about three-hour games. Your
for
poor
sure.
parents. So
I know.
It's kind of been easier with the 6:40 start. You know, last time we talked, knowing that you're at heart a middle infielder, but, yeah, playing a lot of third base, but, man, this year you at third base, you start looking at all the defensive metrics, you're as good as anybody out at third base in all of baseball.
I appreciate that.
So the work you put in, by the way, it's working.
Something's going right. He's getting me right for sure. It's been fun, though, man. It's been fun just learning the different footwork over there, learning how to approach different balls, and it's been fun, man, watching a lot of film, trying to get better every day. But, you know, he's been doing a great job making sure I'm staying on track and getting out here for early work and doing the best I can to make sure I can get some outs for our pitchers.
You know, it's so interesting when you play third base and you play up. One of the things you can do is just block it, get in front of you, come up and fire.
Yeah.
And shortstop, you can't do that. And shortstop for me is always so tough because you got to have beautiful footwork, right?
For
it's
sure.
like the best athletes are shortstops. But also at shortstop, you don't have a lot of time compared to you do have a lot of time sometimes at third base. What's that transition been like?
Yeah, I mean, once you catch it, you got a ton of time, right? But catching it's the hard part. So, you know,
it's smoked at you.
Yeah, I mean, just how much – I didn't realize how much curves on the ball. You know, you're always getting a hook. You're always getting a bleed or something from a lefty, from a righty. So at short, you're getting way more straight balls just because they're hitting it better. It's more in the barrel. It's more up the field. At third base, they move a lot more. So just getting used to that, what it looks like off the bat, how I have to approach those balls. But trying to play third as much as a shortstop as I can. You know, playing short for so long, like you said, you work on feet work so much. And so the more that I can back up and almost be like a second shortstop over there, I feel like I get more range and get the benefit of the doubt to the pitchers and get as many outs as I can for them.
You know, we talked to Mark Kotze earlier today for the Mark Kotze Show about defense. You know, he used to set the defense for Bob Melvin, and we saw it last night, a little bit of a mix-up where you're looking at trying, you know, you got to worry about the bunt. You got Elvis actually playing second base. You got Noisy, I don't even want to call that. He's in between what second and first would be. Ground ball to Elvis, and next thing you know, Noisy's cutting over to second base. It's like when you take guys out of their normal spots and shifting –
yeah.
And you try and turn double plays or stuff, sometimes it looks chaotic. What's it like as an infielder? Because you're doing things you're not used to.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, especially when we shift like that, especially with the guy in first, you're trying to take away the bunt from the lefty. So you're kind of playing in. You're pretty far from second. Once the ball's hit the E, it's either you're running to second base, but if he doesn't look at you, you know, E has a great eternal clock. So if he's diving, he thinks he can't get the out at second, throws the first, all of a sudden third base is wide open, they can get the third, right? So a bunch of stuff runs through your head right there. Should I run to second? Should I go back to third? Can I even get to second? Am I just running over there for no reason? Then we got, you know, first and third if he can't get the out. So that's kind of what happens, though, in these shifts. You get a lot of weird plays. They're really fun to make when you make them, you know, whether the second baseman's running over or the shortstop's running over to make them. You just hope that it all evens out at the end, right? You want to make more outs than have of those. And I think we've done a pretty good job this year of doing that. But, like, when you're in those shifts and those happen, it kind of gets exposed. And you kind of see those more than the routine plays that wouldn't have been made if you weren't in the shift, you know. So as a defense, you just have to accept that we're going off the numbers and they're putting us in great spots to make plays. You just kind of have to live and die by that.
Yeah, the data shows more often than not the shifts work. It's just when something like that happens, you're like, what the hell is going on? You got people going on. And especially if it's in a play – where you have a game last night where everything mattered, right? Everything's so close, the game's going to be close, that sometimes those plays you look at and you go, why the hell are you doing that? Could have cost you the game. It's just and I understand. It kind of reminds me, like in golf, a shot that you don't practice, like all of a sudden on the course, I got to pull this screaming hook around a tree. I can't practice that on the range. Seems like sometimes you guys are in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes baseball fun, is all those plays you don't practice, right, where you're out there and it's just in a weird situation where maybe it happens once or twice a year and it's not worth it to spend an hour, you know, before a game focusing on that one play. You might as well, you know, practice on the 80%, the 90% that you're going to get. So when those happen, though, that's why we're out there. That's why it's fun. And what makes it so fun to be out there is when those plays happen and you make them, it's like no one even knew what we were supposed to do. We were in a crazy situation that we've never been in, and we end up getting the out. So, you know, that makes it fun, but it also makes it hectic there sometimes.
There's been times where you've gotten hot offensively. What do you think is the key for you getting more at-bats and playing every day? Of course, you had a little bit of the hiccup in the injury, but just what's it going to take for you to truly get back on track?
Yeah, I think it's just being consistent. You know, obviously the injury was tough. I felt like I was really good before that. Now we're finally getting back in the groove. But, you know, it's tough, man. It's the big
Don't
leagues.
Slide.
You're facing.
Don't slide.
That was a crazy play. So I actually tripped myself like two steps before then, yeah. And it was either head first or feet first, and my body, I just blacked out. And I got up, and I was fine. I told Dee, I said, if I hurt myself right there, I'd be really pissed off. And then, of course, you know, the next day it blows up, and we had a few days there. But, yeah, that's the name of the game, right? You're facing the best guys in the world every single day. And so this is the first level you get to do that at, and hopefully you do it for a really long time. So just getting used to how the game goes, you know, the pitchers that you haven't seen before, they've seen a lot of hitters before, you know, so they know how to attack you. And it's just that back and forth of constantly making adjustments. But, you know, the more at-bats you get and the more games that you play, the more comfortable that you feel, the more you can kind of be more consistent.
And something that we've been talking about today that's been coming out in the notes, and it's kind of – they're now doing this thing called pitch tempo, where they're tracking how fast the pitchers are. So I say it all the time, work fast, because it helps not only the pitcher, the catcher, get into rhythm,
defense.
But it helps the explain
sure.
to everybody
100%.
The difference between a guy who works fast and you as an infielder are versus a guy who works slow.
Yeah, it's tough because when the guy's working fast, like, you're ready constantly, right? So he pitches, he comes back, you're getting ready again. You can kind of get in the flow of the game. Typically, the defense just plays better because you're not out there for 25, 30 minutes of that time, you know? So when a guy's working slow, it gets a little harder. You gotta wait a little longer. If they're not really hitting their spots and they start walking guys, now, you know, you've been out there for 5 or 10 minutes where a play hasn't been made. You haven't really moved around. You haven't thrown, so... I don't know what the science is behind it. I'd be interested in someone a lot smarter than me kind of looking into that. But just as a defense, you know, when you're out there and got like someone like Irving or Logue, I mean, all of our pitchers, Blackburn, I mean, just attacking guys and working fast, it helps us a bunch.
I can tell you, we did the stopwatch out here at the start of the show. We did 14 seconds. Goes by pretty quick.
Yeah.
30 seconds? It's a
tough.
Long time. If we sat here in just 30 seconds, it's a long time.
It's
you did that in between
time.
Every pitch. You can see as an infielder just gone. Bro, throw the ball. Let's go.
Locking in for that long is tough. It makes it that's the biggest thing, right? You want to lock in every pitch. Like, you want to make sure that you're on your game. So the longer you have to go between that, it's not just that one pitch. It's every, you know, 170 pitches throughout the night, over and over every day. Instead of it being a lot more quick, and you can kind of, you know, be on top of your game a little better.
All right, we know you got to get in, so let's end on this. Now playing for a California team, you've been here for a while, you've had a few weeks, you had that one where you're here, San Francisco back and long, place to sleep in your own bed now here. What is the one thing you've really enjoyed about now playing full-time for a California team?
It's got to be the weather. I'm from New York. I've always wanted to live in Cali. Like, when we were in elementary school and they're like, where's your dream spot to live? It was always Cali, so... Like I said, my parents are losing a lot of sleep, but my body works way better on West Coast time. I feel, you know, on the East, you're up really late, and then you get over here, and it's 11 o'clock, and you can get to bed and get some good sleep in. But it's got to be the weather, man. It's been awesome. It's sunny all the time. You never have to worry if it's going to downpour for 3 straight days. You never have to worry about a May snowstorm. So it's been great.
Rain delays. You see that? See, people can see where they're watching right now
live.
Yeah,
there we go.
That
there
thing, that tarp never gets pulled out.
Never. I don't even know if there's a tarp under there.
I can't even remember. Anybody remember the last time? When's the last time, Cody, we pulled the tarp out?
I think the last rain delay / postponement was like 2017.
Okay. I guess it's worth it to have the tarp every 5-6 years, right? Got to pull it out.
Welcome to California, my friend.
Seattle did it right. They just pulled that dome right over and we kept playing. So
yeah, they make sure that this, and the great thing, Texas and the humidity and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gets hot. It rains every day. Yeah. Not anymore. You get 81 games in, it's right. 72 degrees, and let's go.
That's what's nice about here, too. I heard when it gets hot in the summer, you know, in New York, it's humid. You don't want to go outside.
No
here,
humidity.
Here, it's perfect. So I'm excited for the rest of the year, man. It's going to be fun.
Well, welcome to your first time on our set here.
Yeah,
A's Cast
nice.
Live.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Keep killing it at third base, and we'll talk
Thank
to
you
soon.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
We got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live. We'd like to thank Cole Irvin, Jed Lowry, and Kevin Smith for coming on A's Cast Live. And thank you for listening to A's Unfiltered. Now back to A's Cast, powered by iHeartRadio.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.